My name is Lucas Wanyika from Eastern Cape.
Morning by Smith Lampapa.
Morning, Kunadi Matumele Mpoko.
Good morning, Fomi Singh, visiting KwaZulu-Natal.
Good morning, everybody. Mr. Bauer, Committee Secretary.
Good morning, members, ladies and gentlemen. Kubis, U.S. Content Advisor.
Good morning, everyone. Amanda Zindlan, Committee Assistant.
Yes, sir.
Kuba to the Department Director.
Good morning, honorable members of the select committee. My name is Mogiza Ramasodi from the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and the acting DG. And with me is the team from DAF that I will allow to introduce, starting with Ntate Ramashala on my right.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Tawa Ramashala. I'm responsible for plant production in DAF, and then we are the people who are driving the plant improvement bill.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Nolu Thando Netnongwana, Director of Genetic Resources, and we are responsible for the plant breeders' rights bill. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Julian Yafta. I'm the Chief Director responsible for plant production and health.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Kanti Nagia. I'm with Legal Services staff.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Alan Small. I'm from the Office of the Chief State Advisor, and my secretary is Chantal Andrews. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think we've got, from my side, that three apologies. One is of Honorable Julius, Honorable Connie, and Honorable Nyami. These are the only apologies that I'm having. Our agenda is as follows. That's a negotiating mandate on the Plant Improvement Bill and Plant Breeders' Rights Bill. We are going to continue where we left last. Then we are indeed not going to waste any more time. We will go straight to Mpumalanga to look at that the honorable members can vote yes. Presentation was made already by the department. I'll hand over to the secretary just to read those there. I think the department will have to go through the Mpumalanga first. All right,
good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. As already indicated, we will start with the province of Mpumalanga, and this is on slide 17 of your hard copy presentations. Mpumalanga, they supported the bill, but they indicated the following amendments. On the definitions, the province is proposing that the term register should read as follows, that the registrar means the person contemplated in Section 3(1) and must have regional offices in the provinces. And then DAF response is as follows: after considering this proposal from Mpumalanga, The department does not support this particular proposal because additional regional offices for the registrar will lead to duplication of infrastructure and resources across the country. Greater consistency is achieved through the current centralized systems. That up to now, we haven't had any issue with the centralized system, so our proposal is to keep it as it is, and thus the definition of registrar should remain as it is in the bill that is in front of you. The second proposal from Mpumalanga, again with the definition, they are proposing that the definition of the term cell should be amended by deleting part B of it. So the department responded as follows, that in our view, the removal of part B, which essentially refers to exchange, will provide a loophole which may be exploited by transgressors and thus lead to unintended consequences. Yes. So that concludes the proposal from Mpumalanga. Like I said, it's on slide 70. Thank you.
Honorable members, okay, we will then vote for support or abstaining a province. Is Gauteng here? Not yet. Gauteng. KZN, do you? Support or not support?
Chair, you're asking the question if we are supporting the mandate of Mpumalanga.
That's right.
Support.
The first and the second, and I mean, or just the first one. If you are not ready, Northwest will not support.
Cape's mandate doesn't support.
KZN, are you ready? You're not yet.
Yeah, I responded. I think it's recorded.
Chair, on the point of order.
Chair, I think that you are now asking the question twice. Oh, okay, we support.
Limpopo?
We support. There's no support. Chair, sorry, I was late. I just want to mention here, the Free State does not have a representative on this committee at the moment. I want us to minute it.
because of the changes in the ATCs, the Free State has not read. Honorable Park is being. Who's the alternate? But the committee does not function according to the rules for the alternates. They must be, each province has to be represented. So I would like us to note it in the minutes. So it has to be corrected by the WIPRI. Thank you.
On the second amendment, KZN?
Chair, KZN supports.
Eastern Cape doesn't support you.
Right. Northwest do not support.
I don't trust anybody else telling me that except myself. Can I just abstain on that one, please, because I'm not sure.
We'll now go to Northern Cape. Over to you, the department.
On the province of the Northern Cape, which is slide 18 of the presentation, slide 18, the province of the Northern Cape, with this particular province, the document that was sent to the Secretariat of the Committee, and hence the document that was forwarded to the department, indicated that the legislature of the Northern Cape support the bill in terms of the correspondence dated 20 October 2017. They indicated that the negotiating mandate submitted in May 2017 should remain unchanged. Now, the with this particular one, we indicated that there will be a need for parliamentary legal advisors and the committee to provide the department with guidance on how to deal with this particular matter, because the permanent delegate of the province in that meeting that we first tabled this thing here indicated that they do not have a view on the bill, and hence we didn't know as the department how to proceed on that one. Hence we said the parliamentary legal advisors as well as this committee should provide guidance on how to treat this matter. Thank you.
Let's then go to Northwest.
The province of Northwest, that is slide 19. The province of the Northwest indicated that they support the bill without any amendments. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, members. Would like to bring it to members' attention that it is procedurally correct that we go through each mandate and agree and disagree on the amendments submitted by each province. The Mpumalanga amendments were two, the definitions they were not agreed to. but I would just like to bring it to the members' attention that the definition, that the second definition that was not agreed to on the Mpumalanga one was previously agreed to under the Free State one. So I'd like to bring that to members' attention, that although you voted against it on the Mpumalanga one, we voted for it on the Free State one. But like I said, it's the members' prerogative to vote per province, per mandate, per proposed amendments of that province. Thank you.
We'll then go to the plan breeders. The department will need us. Oh, sorry. No. Western Cape.
Chair. If Chair would just allow us just some guidance as to how you would like us to proceed, which province would like us to focus on, would you like us to go through the province as per the... So just give us an indication.
Left with one province, which is Western Cape. Let's just go through it and then... Before we proceed with the plan breeder, please.
Chairperson, while waiting for the Western Cape to decide on the, in terms of Mpumalanga, on the first proposal, on definition, what was the final tally for just for our records? Not accepted.
Okay.
With the Western Cape, we presented it together with the Eastern Cape. You remember, we started with the two provinces that didn't agree with the bill. Yes. So we have already done it. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. We'll then go to the next one. We'll follow the very same pattern as the previous one. Please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning once again. We will then start with the Eastern Cape. As it was mentioned last week, the Eastern Cape rejected the bill, but they had some recommendations that the department will respond to.
Sorry, Chair. I'm totally confused now. I understand that the department said we dealt with the comments from the department when we dealt with the Eastern Cape, but did we vote on the Western Cape's negotiating mandate? No. We said the negotiating mandate says we don't support the vote unless these things are being amended. We're busy with amending. So we have to vote on that. It's only in the final mandate that we say we support the bill or you don't support the bill. So we cannot skip the Eastern Cape because that it means
and
that...
And
the Eastern Cape because we have to either vote on the clause that says either we amend or we don't amend. And if then in the end, when we get to the final mandate, there's a decision not to take the amendments into consideration, only then the Western Cape can give me a mandate to say, because this report has to go back to the Western Cape, and based on this report, they make a decision whether they give the mandate and support the bill or not. Thank you.
The mandate of the Eastern Cape, the province rejects the bill and mandates the Eastern Cape delegate to the NCOP to vote against the bill. It doesn't say anything about amendments, but it does say to vote against the bill based on the following reasons. So what they're doing is they're giving reasons why they're voting against the bill. There is no proposed amendments. If we go back to, if we go down to Western Cape, the Standing Committee on Economic Opportunities, Tourism, Agriculture reports that it confers on the Western Cape's permanent delegate in the NCOP the authority not to support the bill with the attached committee report. Basically, it is the same as the Eastern Cape one. It is giving a reason why you are not supporting. It does not, the Mandating Procedures Act states that if a province supports with amendments, it must state supporting with amendments. Those amendments must be in what you would call draft format. Insert, delete, which we can vote on. What is being referred to on both of these mandates make no reference to proposed amendments. So, which is why in the last committee meeting we took a decision to read these two mandates and the responses to these mandates so that we could get them out of the way and deal with provinces who made proposed amendments so that we could follow the process that we have been following so that no disruption of the process.
I think that point has been clarified, honourable members. We allow now the proceeding to. Can you allow the admin to continue?
Thank you, honourable chair. The first comment from the Eastern Cape was that the definition of SPAL is too wide. The small-scale farmers who have been bartering, trading, and sharing seeds for decades will now have to exchange money to procure their seeds to enable them to feed their families. The department's response is as follows. You would recall that last week it was explained that the context in which SPAL is used in the Plant Improvement Act is slightly different from the context in which it is used in the Plant Breeders' Rights Bill. In the Plant Breeders' Rights Bill, SPAL is used in the following sections. The first section deals with novelty period, where if you want to apply for a plant breeder's right for a variety, we are saying that variety should not have been sold in South Africa for a year or 4 to 6 years in any other country. Now, if we remove exchange, it means that someone will come and apply for a variety that has been in, I would say, public domain and claim plant breeders' right for such a variety. So if we remove exchange, we are losing that protection for us as consumers and farmers. And we are keeping it too wide. People will be able to bring old varieties and claim IP for such old varieties. And therefore, we would like to keep exchange for that section. And then with regard to the definition being prohibitive to the farmers to trade and or barter seed, another section is that one of the scope of a plant breeder's right, where it says the authorization of the breeder is required for the sale or any other form of marketing of the protected variety. And our response is that the scope of a plant breeder's right has exceptions, and those exceptions are in Clause 10. And such exceptions, they protect the small-scale farmers. The exceptions would be no authorization would be needed for private and non-commercial use, for experimental purposes, for breeding of other varieties, and for a farmer who uses the protected variety in accordance with subsection 2. And we thought in slide 3 that we should explain the issue of seed sharing a little bit, because this comment has come up in many provinces, as you will see. In the current act, that is the first column, the current act allows farmers to use the protected variety or protected seed on land occupied by them, and it shall not be used for purposes of propagation by any other person other than that farmer. So this current act was a bit problematic because it is the one that prohibits farmers to exchange or share seeds. And those comments, we've taken them into account because they were comments from the stakeholders. If you look at Section B, at column, the middle column, those comments are the ones that are received. One, the current act prohibits any seed exchange of protected varieties among farmers. Another problematic issue was the farmer in the current act is not defined, and as such, in some cases, it is alleged that commercial farmers will keep back the seed, and that has a negative effect to some industries, for instance, your wheat industry. And another option was, if commercial farmers want to keep back seed, they be allowed, but with the payment of some royalties. And the department needed to define which farmers needed to benefit for this provision. And another comment was that the crops that we are talking about are not defined. We are not taking into consideration the practice of seed saving. We are not taking into consideration what should happen between seed crops and vegetatively propagated or food crops. We are not taking consideration issues of yield and hybrids. And also the current act does not define the uses that the farmers can undertake, and also does not talk about the issues around brown bagging. This is why in the Plant Breeders' Rights Bill, the amendment says in clause 2A, the minister shall have to prescribe the categories of farmers, the categories of plants, the uses, and where applicable, the conditions of for payment of royalties and for labeling requirements. This amendment aims to respond to the comments that we've received from the stakeholders. Now, another concern is that we're saying minister must prescribe, and our stakeholders are saying they don't know what will be in the regulations. And our response is the regulations will follow the same process that we did with the bill. We will have consultations with stakeholders. Our state law advisors and the portfolio committee has indicated that their interest for the regulations to be served in front of them. And the second comment from the Eastern Cape was on clause 7. The comment was saying inclusion of protected varieties in clause 7 amounts to uncompetitive behavior. We were not clear on this comment because clause 7 itself deals, or the bill itself deals with protected varieties. It is protected varieties that are the focus of the bill. The third comment was that clause 7.2b must be deleted. This refers to the protection extended to harvested material. And our response is that the harvested material must have been obtained through the unauthorized use of propagating material. And such unauthorized use will not refer to X covered in clause 10, meaning that all those exceptions will not be affected if we include the harvested material. Also in clause 23, the province suggests that we modify the bill and change denomination to description. We'd like to clarify that denomination refers to the name of the variety. It is the name that a breeder gives when they submit a variety. It's the same name that's going to be known, the variety is going to be known by the farmers. So denomination is the name. And then description is when we now describe the variety itself. We tell you that it has elongated leaves, it has pink flowers, and so forth. So the two cannot be used interchangeably. And then that concludes Free State, Honorable Chair.
Eastern Cape.
I'm sorry.
We'll then go to Western Cape.
The Western Cape had two recommendations. The first one was both were not referring to any specific clauses. The first one was there should be a separate legislation that speaks to and address concerns and interests of informal, small scale and part-time farmers. Again, we were not very clear on whether this refers to the plant breeders' rights system itself or to other issues. And then we are interpreting this comment to mean that there must be a separate plant breeders' rights legislation for the mentioned categories of farmers. And then the current bill, as I have just explained under the Eastern Cape, it provides for exceptions to ensure that traditional seed practices of smallholder farmers can continue. And also in terms of traditional varieties, the department has developed a national plan for conservation and sustainable use of plant genetic resources, and that plan supports the conservation and sustainable use of land races and traditional varieties. And then if our interpretation is not correct, we would like some guidance from the province on the proposed legislation. The second comment from the Western Cape was that the entire contents of the bill should be revised. And the department's response is that the current bill originates from the existing legislation, and such legislation is currently being implemented. And this amendment aims to strengthen the regulatory system. And again, we are requesting the province to give more guidance on which areas of the bill to revise. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. We will then proceed with Free State.
For Free State, the first comment was on clause 1, the definition of farm, where it says the bill criminalizes the exchange of farm-safe seed from protected varieties, and is a similar situation as what I've explained to the Eastern Cape, where we've explained what happens in the current act and what the amendment aims to achieve. I'm not sure whether I should repeat the explanation. The explanation is that we believe that it is the current act that prohibits seed exchange, and the amendments to the bill aim to address that, where minister will prescribe the categories of farmers, the categories of crops, the uses, and where applicable, the conditions for payments of royalties and labeling requirements. And the details thereof will be in the regulation, which will be consulted on. And the second comment from the Free State was also on definition. They are requesting the department to define non-commercial as a person not making or attempting to make profit from the activity contemplated in Section 7.1, and commercial should have the corresponding meaning. And the department's response is, commercial and non-commercial have never been defined in our law. In terms of interpretation, words must be given the ordinary grammatical meaning, unless to do so would result in absurdity. And this, in this case, the ordinary meaning is clear. And the second clause was clause 10.1, where the suggestion is, instead of having private and non-commercial, which would replace and by all in order to benefit emerging farmers and for private use of seeds, whether commercial or non-commercial. And our response is the emerging farmers will be covered by the exceptions in clause 10.1d, read with clause 10.2. The third proposal was under clause 10.2.4. And the amendment proposed is that we need to insert B, stating that the minister shall, by notice in the Gazette, and on such conditions as he or she may specify in the notice, exempt any type of business from the provisions of Section 7.1d of the Act. And the department's response is, Section 7.1 provides for the scope of a planned reversal right granted to breeders. And this amendment is already addressed by Section Clause 10.2, which addresses the exceptions to this scope of the plant breeder's right. And that concludes Free State Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Lambo, welcome. And, being the first province that we start normally with, we are now going to vote for support or not supporting the first definition in the Free State. Okay. I hope you have been listening. Unfortunately, I've just arrived. Okay. KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo supports Chair.
I can't see now. Maybe the younger picture.
Northwest. Northwest do not support. Western Cape?
Excuse me, ma'am.
For a minute, waiting for... Abstaining or supporting? Abstain, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
We can go to the next province. The next clause, yes. One there.
Second definition.
Okay. So there are three, eh? How many definitions?
Two definitions. Four.
We were voting for Free State, first definition. I don't know what you vote
for.
I'm abstaining, Chair.
We'll go to the second one. Gauteng. It will abstain again.
And supports
Limpopo.
Limpopo supports Chair.
Okay. Northwest. Northwest not support.
Eastern Cape.
Denapsi.
Western Cape.
Gauteng is abstaining, sir.
KZN?
Suppose.
Popo?
Popo support.
Northwest do not support.
Western Cape?
Oh, Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support.
Yeah, the last one is 10.2.
The last one is just 10.2. Gauteng?
Abstains.
Okay.
Is that it?
Supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest do not support.
Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support.
Western Cape?
Okay. We'll go to the next
province, which is Gauteng Department.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The first comment from Gauteng is also on clause 1, definition of file, and the proposal is that it should be amended by deleting paragraph B thereof. And our response is if we remove exchange from the definition, we are widening the scope where people can come and apply for a plant preserve right for varieties that are already in circulation. So it does not protect us. And if the concern is around farmers, the farmers are protected by clause 10 under the exceptions. The second comment is on definition of persons, where the proposal is to amend the definition to include natural and juristic persons. And our response is that the persons is already defined in the law of interpretation. And as such, there is no need to include natural and juristic persons. In clause 33, the proposal is that it should be amended to extend the grace period from 3 to 6 months, and the department is in agreement with that proposal, and the clause shall be amended accordingly. And under clause 41, the proposal was to amend to include a sub-clause making provision for the staying of criminal proceedings against an infringer pending an internal process. And our response is that clause 41 deals with appeals against the decision made by the registrar. And this is an internal process and has no reference to criminal proceedings. However, all criminal proceedings, a stay cannot be effected automatically. The next comment was on clause 42, with the proposal that it should be amended by the rectification of the reference to section 41 instead of 43(1), and the department is in agreement with that amendment. The next one is on clause 55(1), where the province is requesting that we amend to address the concern of imprisonment raised by various stakeholders. In our response, we are saying the prosecutions will only be instituted by the NPA only when there is evidence of such an alleged offense. Also, mainly, what's most important is that this clause protects those breeders who may not be able to go the civil route due to its expensive nature. And it's not the first time that this clause is used. We can see in other similar acts, like your Patents Act, the Plant Reader's Rights Act in other countries, they do have a similar clause. And then the second clause is on clause, the second proposal is on clause 59.3, where it is proposed that we should insert a new subsection under 59.3 to deal with the issue of regulating new applications made after the commencement date. And our response is new applications received after the commencement date would be dealt with under the new Act. And that concludes the proposals from the Gauteng. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, go to the first definition, and then we will start with Gauteng, whether it is support or not. Gauteng? Gauteng does not support. Thank you.
KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo abstains.
Okay.
Thank you.
Northwest,
not supporting.
Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support you.
Western
Cape? Gauteng supports.
KZN
supports.
Limpopo supports.
Northwest support.
Eastern Cape.
Eastern Cape supports.
West
Western Cape.
Gauteng supports. Okay. KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest? Northwest support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape supports.
Western Cape? Gauteng supports. KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest do not support. Western Cape? Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support you.
Gauteng supports.
KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest? Northwest support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape supports.
Western Cape? Gauteng supports. KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape supports.
Western Cape? Okay, good.
259.
Yeah.
Wait.
Gauteng?
Gauteng supports you.
Limpopo?
No. KZN?
The okay. House, Chair. We're in the house.
In the
support.
Okay. Thank you.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest do not support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support you.
Okay. Western Cape? Thank you. Go to, you can now go to 593. Okay. Gauteng?
That's the one that we're dealing with.
No, this was the last one.
That was the last
thank
one.
Thank you. Sure. So thanks. We'll go to the next next province, which is KZN, over to the department. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The first comment from KZN was on clause 1, on the definition of cell, that it should be amended by deleting paragraph B thereof. And our response is that by removing exchange from the definition, we're opening up for breeders to apply for a plant breeder's rights for varieties that are in have been in the public domain for a year or more. The second comment was on clause 7.2 on the deletion of harvested material. And our response is that the harvested material must have been obtained through the unauthorized use of propagating material. And such unauthorized use is under the exceptions. It's under the exceptions in clause 10. And the third proposal is in clause 10.1a, and it is proposed that we substitute "and" in private and non-commercial with "or" so that it reads private or non-commercial. And our response is emerging farmers will be covered by exceptions in clause 10 because the concern was if we say "and" we do not protect emerging farmers and those are protected by the exceptions under clause 10. The next comment was on clause 10.2, where the province feels that the clause as it stands is inadequate, as it does not expressly recognize the rights of farmers to reuse and exchange farm safe seed of the protected variety. And our response is, in clause 10.2a, that's where the minister will prescribe the categories of farmers that will benefit, the categories of crops, the uses, and where applicable, the conditions for payment of royalties and labeling requirements. And the details thereof will be in the regulations. And the next comment is in clause 55.1b. And the proposal is that royalties or compensation can be claimed in addition to Section 55.1b. And our response is such concern is already covered by Clause 55.1c. And that concludes KZN, Honorable Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can you start with number one? Honorable Gauteng
does not support.
KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest?
Do not support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support, sir.
Western Cape? Okay. Go to 7.2 Gauteng?
Gauteng does not support.
Okay. KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest?
Northwest do not support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support, sir.
Western Cape? Okay. 10.1A. Gauteng?
Gauteng abstains.
Is that then?
Supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo abstains.
Okay. Northwest, not support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support, sir.
Western Cape? Right. You go to 10.2A. Gauteng?
Gauteng does not support.
KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo abstains.
Okay, Northwest, not support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support you.
All right, Western Cape? Okay. Go to 55.1B, ne? Gauteng?
Gauteng abstains.
Okay, KZN?
Supports.
Right. Limpopo?
Limpopo does not support.
Okay. Northwest do not support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape doesn't support, sir.
Western Cape? Thank you. We'll go to the next province, which is Limpopo.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The first comment from Limpopo was on clause 7. The bill should have specific provision for the protection of traditional seed breeders and local farmers. How we read it was that the traditional seed breeders are not protected by the bill. And our response is anyone who can breed a new variety is protected by the bill. So if a traditional seed breeder produces a variety which is distinct, uniform, and stable, then such a breeder is also covered by the bill. And the part of local farmers we interpreted as if it is referring to access to protected varieties. And our response is that local farmers can access protected varieties. And the exceptions cover the subsistence farmers where they would not need authorization from the breeder to use the protected varieties. The second comment was on clause 55.1. The bill must make provision for the prevention of hijacking of breeds or stealing traits by other farmers and producers. And our response is acts of infringement are already covered by clause 32. On clause 55.2E, the comment is that registered seed breeders must be held accountable for the performance of their seed or varieties when planted as determined according to clause 26.1 on distinctness, uniformity, and stability tests. And the department's response is that clause 31 requires the breeder to maintain the propagating material in such a manner that whenever the registrar requests the breeder to submit propagating material, when it's tested, it must still be distinct, uniform, and stable. It must still comply with the requirements. But in the case that that variety does not comply with any of the requirements, then clause 38 provides for the cancellation of that plant breeder's right. And then the next comment is on clause 55.3A, B, C, and D. The bill needs to specify the adequate rent value, amount, fine, and percentage of royalties, because as it is, it might cause a challenge when implementing or enforcing penalties to offenders. And our response is the intention is for fines to be aligned to the Adjustment of Fines Act. And that concludes Limpopo. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we go to clause 7-1 and do some voting? Gauteng?
Gauteng supports.
Okay. The 10 supports. Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest? Northwest do not support. The Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape supports.
Western Cape? Go to 55.1. Gauteng?
Gauteng supports.
KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest? Northwest do not support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape supports.
Western Cape? Okay. Go to... at 52.2E. Gauteng?
Gauteng abstains.
KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest, West do not support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape abstains.
Okay, Western Cape? All right, thank you. Go to 55.3. Gauteng?
Gauteng supports.
Okay. KZN?
Supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Northwest, West support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape supports.
Western Cape? Okay.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Mpumalanga.
Province is Mpumalanga.
From Mpumalanga, we received one comment on the definition of registrar, where the province proposed that we amend the definition to read as follows. Registrar means the persons contemplated in Section 3.1 and must have regional offices in the provinces. And the department's response is that additional regional offices would lead to duplication of infrastructure and resources across the country, and we achieve greater consistency through the current centralized system. However, it does not mean that evaluations are not done in regions where we get applications, for instance, for avocados. We do those evaluations in Mpumalanga or Limpopo. So we do have evaluations in respective provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, vote on Limpopo. Gauteng, only one.
Gauteng supports.
Okay. KZN?
KZN supports.
Limpopo?
Limpopo supports.
Okay. Northwest? Northwest does not support. Eastern Cape?
Eastern Cape supports you.
Western Cape? Thank you. Thank you.
Go to
province, which is
Northern Cape, Northwest.
Northern Cape.
Thank you, members. I just want to bring to the members' attention that the responses from the department with regards to Northern Cape and Northwest State states no amendments proposed. That would be correct in the case of Northwest, but remember that the delegate from Northern Cape did not submit or enter the Northern Cape's mandate at the meeting, at the first meeting where the mandates were read out. Although the province submitted a mandate, the permanent delegate from the province indicated there was no mandate. Just like to bring that to everybody's attention, that Northern Cape, as far as the committee is concerned, Northern Cape did not submit a negotiating mandate. That comment, no proposed amendments, would then only take effect for the Northwest Province. Thank you.
Honorable members, we then go to the next province, which is Northwestern.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Northwest supported the bill without amendments. Thank you.
Chairperson, on the Northern Cape matter, I'm not sure what finally goes on to our records here. I seem to hear the chair saying from your office that the province did express a view that maybe we could say it was not read into the records because maybe the delegate didn't come here. So I'm just wondering whether we're doing justice to the province per se.
Thank you, member. The time that all the mandates were read, the permanent delegate from the Northern Cape was here. Extensive discussions pertaining to that matter took place. The previous minutes of this meeting reflects that the province did submit a mandate on both bills. However, the permanent delegate, who is the representative of a province, indicated that the province submitted no mandate. So it went on record that the province submitted no mandate, but does not prevent the province from submitting a final mandate. Thank you.
Honourable Member, I hope it's clear. Northwest is supporting and without any amendment, Honourable Members. Okay. So we have concluded, accepted as it is. Thank you. We are done with our mandates. Eastern Cape and Western Cape were the first to be read. Remember. So we are done with the two.
Okay. Thank you, members. With regards to process, what the Secretariat will now do is, as we did with the previous minutes, as members would have read the previous minutes, we indicated the province had supported that proposed amendments and the vote per amendment. I will now do the same for today's meeting. The previous minutes was already sent to the province. As soon as I'm done and the chair has okayed these minutes, I will send them out to the provinces again, indicating which of the proposed provincial proposed amendments were agreed to and not agreed to, and that will give inputs when provinces take a decision on their final mandates. That concludes the 76 process on the two plant bills. All that remains is the consideration and adoption of documents, minutes, reports, etc. that appear before the committee. Thank you.
DDG, before I can release.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I would like to thank you for the meticulous way in which the two bills were addressed. And we will await any guidance from the committee in terms of the decisions that will be taken. Thank you very much. And we would like to put it on record that both Minister and Deputy Minister could not attend the session and had apologized for not being here. Thank you very much.
Honorable members, we can now release the department and continue with our business. We have got the report of our study tour to Australia. We have got also our minutes that we need to adopt. Thank you. The report was circulated to honorable members. I'm not sure whether it is necessary for me to go page by page, but I believe that the honorable members managed to go through this report. If there are areas, as we have read, you can indicate before we then adopt this report. Be to go page by page, honorable members, or are you?
Yeah, you can go page by page. I went through it, it was emailed.
Okay. Page 4 and 5, 6 and 7. On our speed,
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay. 14, 15? Okay. 16, 17?
Thank you, members. A late addition to the documents which serves before you is the committee's 2017 annual report. I emailed it out yesterday. I was hoping members would be able to peruse it so that we could have adopted it, because it is due to go to the House Chair today. So we were going to have another meeting, but it's not taking place, so I sent it out yesterday, and yes, ma'am, I was hoping we could go through it, and if members are happy, we could adopt the committee's annual report. Thank you.
Page 1. Page 2. This one. Page 3. Page page 4. It's a short one. Page 5. Yes, Honorable Labaskafa.
Chair, I'm most of Nadi Mall, I would have said in Afrikaans. Can I propose that we look at the recommendations of the report? Because in the end.
Oh, yes.
Someone has to second it before we can do so, because that is the thing that we should
That's the proposal, Honorable, that we look at the recommendations. Any second of that? Thank you very much. Let's go to the recommendation. Recommendation on page 41. There's bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 bullets.
Chair?
Yes, Honorable.
I want to ask clarity question on bullet 1, 2, 3, 4, bullet 6.
Bullet
Although committee meetings times are limited at present, there is also a need for greater integration between portfolio committees and select committees' activities, particularly in terms of budget oversight. Additionally, there is a need to integrate sectoral parliaments with the oversight capacity of the committees in order to provide better follow-up oversight of matters raised during sectoral parliaments. I don't want to open up a whole discussion. I just want to make the following points. I understand the motivation for that because of the time, I agree with maybe an integration when it comes to the budget oversight. But the budget oversight is supposed to be linked to the APPs and the programs. Now, the moment that we go into that, then it brings the old question back on what should the NCOP focus on. So if we look at the Constitution, there is the whole thing of elevating the interest of provinces, and then refer specifically to by ways of legislation. Now, and you also mentioned the whole thing, or this report also mentioned the whole thing of the role that legislation play, which I agree with. I just want us to cause to be very careful that we don't get all oversights and those kind of things in joint meetings with portfolios, because the focus of those two things are different. So I would like just to get a sort of a clarity on how do we see, if we recommend this, how do we see this is going to happen in practical terms?
Yes, sir. The moment I read it, I realized that it is one line too short because it simplifies a complex thought way too quickly. The recommendation of integrating oversight when both the PC and the SC deals with something is motivated by the fact that we duplicate each other's work quite frequently. And integration for me is sitting down beforehand, dividing up the oversight function and the two houses working together to get to an answer without doing each other's work or doing the same work. In other words, if we use my favorite example of agriculture, the PC can have a focus that does oversight over the
long-term strategy of the executive and the financial allocations per program, whereas the select committee has much greater purpose in interrogating the functioning of the conditional grants, the management of the conditional grants, and the adherence to provincial and local government legislation within those funding streams. That, for me, is integrated work, where when the two sets of oversight activities complete, the view of the expenditure is also complete. It's not a case of the select committee in a rapid flurry of departmental activity getting briefed on the entire budget and APP and strat plan of the department as it happens now. I was busy trying to make a note as I write. So my counter proposal, if the committee would like it, is to just expand on what I just said to make the text reflect what I'm saying there. In terms of the sectoral parliaments, my problem with the sectoral parliaments at present is that I've never seen the select committees being briefed on what the key problems were in a province, what each committee's role is going to be in addressing those problems, and what the timeline is for feeding back on those problems to stakeholders and to the province. So for me, the recommendation of greater integration would be that flowing from a sectoral parliament should be a checklist of matters to be addressed by the NCOP with a timeline for committees to see what can be done regarding those matters. Right now, delegations go out, delegations come back, reports are filed, and I don't see anything. I'm never part of those, so I don't know what happens, but we as a committee secretariat never get called in to say, these are the issues that are flagged for your committee, get it onto your timetable, deal with it, we want a report in 6 months or in 8 months or in 12 months. So that's my rationale behind that recommendation.
Honorable Mlambo, Honorable Mita, in that order.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the explanation. I really appreciate it. I agree with that. I can go with that. I think we should, in our review session of committees next year, and maybe slot that in the training or something, but I think that would fit in with the review session. Also look at what we say the oversight model is, because I think one of the problems from the sectoral parliament's position is there is a view, and there has been various legal positions or opinions and things like that, and actually the constitution doesn't give us an oversight role on over in the sectoral parliament per se, but it says that we have a role in overseeing legislation and look after the interests of provinces. So my suggestion would be, in our review, is to look at provincial weeks, to say that those weeks are to strengthen the intergovernmental sort of liaison in elevating the interests of the provinces that needs to be elevated to a national level, instead of the old model of strong oversight, because then from time to time we get a resistance and provinces don't want to, or they see that they are being criticized and that kind of thing, which is not always a good setting for getting those things that are really hampering service delivery and should be streamlined within legislation or within a strategic plan or within a conditional grant or within a budget, whatever the case may be. And I think that is why we find it hard to have this matters and this checklist. But
I agree with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
I also support the suggestion and the broadening of the sentence by JJ there. But at the same time, in supporting what Honorable Labaskart is saying, you know, when we talk provincial weeks, they become sometimes dedicated to a particular department. You see, if we deal with health, we in the review, if you can put a portion for integration of the MA in a way to the provincial week, so that when we talk service delivery, we're able to escalate even in terms of what needs to be done by the executive. I would suggest that we look into that in terms of provincial weeks, the participation of those committees in the NA that are dealing with a specific department. If, you know, we say the focus, like it was on economy, the last provincial week. We need the PC to be, at least be part of that, so that certain service delivery issues can be quickly addressed structurally. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, mine is not the linked to what the two speakers were talking about. It's my own point. Can I get in? I don't know whether you are finished with this, that's why I'm raising that.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Very much appreciate well, the line, I hope will assist. But I would like to latch on to what the Honorable Mlambo just said. It's a matter of programming, Chairperson. It's a matter of programming. That's the first point. The second point, which latches on to the next bullet about de-clustering the committees. The very structure of the NCOP chair doesn't allow de-clustering because of the numbers. Unless chairperson, when we did last, unless we're going to say NCOP is not going to do oversight over certain departments. But I wonder whether the Constitution would allow that. But the clustering of the NCOP committee's chair, I think, is largely informed by the numbers that the NCOP has. Now, to come up with a model that deviates from that, that will imply constitutional amendment, it will imply a whole lot of changes that must be brought, maybe increase the chamber of the NCOP. The implications are far-reaching, Chairperson. So, the bullet on de-clustering, Chairperson, I suggest maybe we omit for now. Now, maybe just to reemphasize, integration, Chairperson, in my view, depends on how the Joint Programming Committee puts the activities of the two houses together. It's a programming matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, mine is on point here on page 21. Just to to raise the issue that I'm quite excited that I see under your challenges, emerging challenges, whatever it is, but the issue of follow-up. Because if, as NCOP, we do the work of oversight, for me, it's very critical to follow up on those matters and go back to those communities. I'm still having a pain that we're finishing the year without going back to Alexander Bay after we have seen all the pains and challenges those communities are having. I wish it would be prioritized, Chair. I know that there was a meeting with the department. Now it's for us to plan to go back and report back to those communities and start doing things that were picked up as challenges. So I'm raising my point because I'm disappointed, but still I'm excited that there's work that is being done. But the sooner we go back to that community, for me, the better. Thank you.
Also, the point that we should also put in is of intervention at the community. You'll find that in a particular mine, there is a serious challenge. Then we wait, either we'll be hearing it from the portfolio committee. That's, for instance, taking the Lily mines, the plight of the farmers and the farm workers. Okay. Both of them, their lives, where farmers have been killed or farm workers being killed, and then they are falling also under our department. Also, even the CPAs, where there will be a lot of funds being spent to in the restitutions. But just the intervention, sometimes an unplanned visit to that area, let's say an intervention. Maybe we must find a way of looking at that. But before we can close, perhaps this is actually our last meeting as the committee. I would love that members should also reflect and make some input, because this is our closing committee meeting. Okay. Let me take Honorable Lavaska to make a point, or also on the wishing this committee very well for. But maybe before you speak, there is a follow up that JJ want to make on the clustering. Is it de-clustering?
Chairperson, can I also want to raise a point on the clustering before we go into my, am I allowed to do so? Maybe then, yeah. I hear what Honourable Mutemi said, but I also want to, I don't want this sentence to be taken out, because I know that in the Parliament before us, there were 6 clusters in the NCOP and not 5 clusters. And I was part of a discussion in a WIPRI meeting or in a pre-decision meeting to that with my predecessor, where exactly the things that has been raised here has been spelled out as the consequences of going down to 5 clusters. The Constitution says that the NCOP has the right to organize the committees and whatever according to the rules of the NCOP. The rules doesn't make any provision for a specific 4, cluster 5, cluster 10, cluster whatever the clusters are might be. So I know that it might be difficult and it will take some legwork and things, But therefore, I don't want us to take it out because it's not against the Constitution. So to say, let us make the clusters a little bit more so that we have less departments in each. Or it might be difficult to fit it into the time frame and that kind. But I think we should still try and look at how we can become more effective with the time and the people we have. Thank you.
Yes, I completely understand the input that came my way and understand the challenges regarding a quick proposal to do away with how the committees are structured. But the next two inputs that I received directly underscore the challenges that we do have with a clustered system. In 1 year of the select committee, we have never touched all the entities of all the departments, because if we try to, we will have one meeting for each, and that will be the year done. No study tours, no oversights, no plenaries, no legislation, nothing. So technically our oversight capabilities, our follow-up capabilities, intervention capabilities, is directly equivalent to how many departments the committee has. The greater the number of the departments, the less the number of anything that the committee can do. And it's from that perspective that I raised the amount of clusters that the NCRP has, the amount of departments that each committee has. Because if the committee wants to do meaningful work in one department, it requires the sacrifice of time for another. I will try to reword it in a way that reflects those concerns without stating that anything fundamental must change with the NCOP, but state the concerns that the committee has in terms of getting around to everything that the committee would like to be able to achieve. I agree with the fact that a fleeting change is not something that the committee can just easily recommend, but the committee can highlight what the current work environment does to its desired activities in terms of follow-ups, intervention, surprise visits, detailed oversight, things like that. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Member.